pardon for a while. Ole, ole. But our hearts will still remember that our love was true. Say adios when the sun sets on the sea. Say adios when the sun sets on the sea.
All right, we're going to commence to begin to start to get ready to rock and roll a little bit here.
This presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager, Learning the Lingo.
Today, I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying, totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
And a pleasant good afternoon to you wherever you may be, however you may be listening. This is indeed the Shook Me Right Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford Touch Reform Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, thank you for making this show part of your Monday afternoon. As the sun is still out and the coats are coming off, it's a warm day and a beautiful day for a Boston Bruins win, beating the Colorado Avalanche this afternoon 5-1 in an impressive win at TD Garden. What does this mean, big picture? What does this mean for the Boston Bruins, big picture? Are you sold into this team? Do you believe that this is a team that can go on a deep playoff run? Phone lines are open. I'm here with you live until 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, and as well streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO. Here's the phone number to call in at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. If you told me this morning that the Boston Bruins were going to dominate the Colorado Avalanche, the number one team in the NHL, the number one team in the NHL standings, that they were going to dominate and play as well as they did against this team, I would have told you that I don't necessarily believe you. I have my reasons why. But they did. The Bruins played well today. I'll give them that. Jeremy Swayman looked really good in net today. I'll also give you that. But this is the reason why I am optimistically cautious when it comes to this Bruins team as it currently stands. I'm not jumping off the cliff ready to unzip the sausage out the casing just yet. I'm not willing to do it. Here's why. Before the Bruins won today, they hadn't won back-to-back games in nearly a month. This was a team that was flawed. This was a team that has concerns up and down its roster. And now it looks like Jeremy Swayman is really beginning to put it all together now as a goaltender. Today's win was impressive, but I still pumped the brakes. Pump the brakes, will you? Can you do that for me, please? I would greatly appreciate it. I haven't seen Bruins Twitter overreact just yet. Maybe I haven't been on Twitter long enough to go through the tweets and see, well, maybe the Bruins could absolutely go on a long-withstanding playoff run once they get to the playoffs. I'm not there. Because guess who awaits them? If the playoffs were to start tomorrow. Oh, that's right. It's the Florida Panthers. We know how good this Florida Panther team is this season. And then also, for the Boston Bruins, after today's game, they're off to Seattle, where they go to Seattle for the first time. They play the Seattle Kraken Thursday night. 10 o'clock p.m. puck drop. How do you feel about this team, big picture? Don't be fooled by what you saw of one 60-minute stretch of play. Because the reality is, when you look at the Bruins team right now, and just even based on today's game, you had to have liked what you saw from David Pastrnak, who scored the game winner the other night in Ottawa. You had to have really liked what you saw from Charlie Coyle. You had to also really like what you saw defensively and offensively from Charlie McAvoy as well. But dare I say, can we be careful, please, by getting a little too far ahead of ourselves? That's where I'm at. I'm not here to try to pour water on anybody's parade, but I'm not going to sit here and feed you everything is going to be A-OK in the world and everything is going to be A-OK ultimately in the end. But what I am going to tell you is this was a good win. Solid win. But do not get too far ahead of yourselves, please. I'm not sitting here trying to pull a Michael Felger or an Adam Jones or anything like that. But I also do believe that you have to be real. You have to be honest. This was a great win. But at the same time, let's ask ourselves this question. As we get ready to close the month of February and we are approaching March rapidly, how are you feeling about this team moving forward? Overall, in terms of what the Bruins do moving forward. Because if there's one thing that I did like from today's game, I really like what I saw from Trent Frederick, Charlie Coyle, and as well as Craig Smith on that line. I like what I saw. But at the same time, that now creates a new hole in the top line. Who do you put up there on the first line right wing spot? A lot of good moments and good things that we saw from today's game. And there are still questions to be had regarding this Boston Bruins team as it currently stands. I mean, this is also the same team that hasn't won back-to-back games in a month. They were 3-7 in the last 10 prior to this last couple of games. So again, if you think that I'm being a bit too negative, maybe you have not really been paying attention to the overall reality of this team. And the overall reality of this team is that they played the Avalanche well for 60 games, but the Avalanche had a bit of a hiccup game. They weren't themselves today. They weren't. And the Bruins capitalized. Good on them. They got the 2 points. I'm sure that if you are a neutral observer of hockey and you looked at today's game between the Avalanche and the Boston Bruins, on the Avalanche side, you're saying, burn the tape. We just did not have our game today. This wasn't our day. If you're the Bruins, you say, you know what? Let's come back and hold on to this tape. Let's look back at this game because there are a lot of teachable moments that we can come back to if they were to hit another slump and say, hey, this is what happens when we play well as a unit 5-on-5. This is what happens when the D covers all the forwards. This is what happens when we're able to establish a forecheck and do what we're supposed to do early. That's the point. And ultimately, if you are the Boston Bruins after this big win, and did the Bruins ever look good today? But after this win, if you're the Boston Bruins, I do wonder this one particular question. And that question is, do you wholeheartedly believe that Jeremy Swayman has solidified his positioning as the number one goaltender for the Boston Bruins? Because I think that is one legitimate question that I think Bruin fans should be asking and wondering. But again, I am of the person who is erring an air of caution. I'm telling you, do not get too far ahead of yourselves. You want to be optimistic? I'll give you that. Fine. I'm not telling you not to be overly optimistic. I'm not telling you not to be optimistic. But I'm telling you, don't get too far ahead of yourself. Does this team have a pulse? Yes, they do have a pulse. But man, there have been too many stretches recently where this team has looked completely dead. That's why I am of the position right now where I look at the Boston Bruins and I say, oh, great win, but ... Great win, but I like to see this over an extended period of time. I'm not going to go as far as to say that the Bruins have completely figured it all out. They're going to go on some sort of extended run or anything like that. But what I am going to say is, can we hold the horses for just a bit, please? Pretty please. Let's not turn into Celtics fans, whom you would have thought that they have taken over as the number one team in the NBA with a 9-game winning streak. Meanwhile, they got a bit of a reality check when they lost to the Detroit Pistons in the last game before the NBA All-Star break. The same applies for the Boston Bruins. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. Let's keep things in proper perspective and look forward to the next game against Seattle. Because I do believe that this is a stretch where the Bruins, they are going to be on the road for an extended period of time. And I'm interested to see how this team will, in fact, look moving forward, given that they are going to be looking and playing the next several games on the road. In fact, they're going to be playing in Seattle, at San Jose, at Los Angeles Kings, and then at the Anaheim Ducks, and then at Vegas. That's 5 games out west beginning Thursday. 5 games out west beginning Thursday, and this will be an interesting litmus test, especially against teams like the Kings, who have been one of the more pleasant surprises in the NHL, and they are a lot better than what I thought they were going to be. And I'm specifically talking to the Bruin fans who may not watch a whole lot of other NHL teams outside of the Boston Bruins. That's going to be one litmus test. Another litmus test is going to be Vegas. Jack Eichel's return. He already has returned already. You're going to be seeing Vegas potentially, and I do mean potentially, at near full strength. And that is depending, of course, on the status of Mark Stone, who is doubt he's going to be out indefinitely with a long-term injury that he sustained. So in summation, good win for the Boston Bruins, impressive win against the best team in the NHL, arguably, but let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. The Bruins have another big test, a 5-game road trip coming up against the Kraken, against the Sharks, against the Kings, against the Ducks, and against the Golden Knights. All between this Thursday and March 3rd. 5 games. I want to see this team put together the kind of game like they did against Colorado today consistently over the next 5 games on the road. I don't think that's a whole lot to ask for. But I sure as hell do think that if this Bruins team is going to be a playoff team and at least win a round, you need to see today's effort a lot more consistently than what you've seen in the prior 10 games. Coming up next, Bruce Cassidy said something over the weekend that got my ears perked. I'm going to tell you exactly what it was and why it was exactly what was needed. I'm going to tell you that and much more coming up next right here on the Shukri Wright Show, 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Touch Free From Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org.
The federal government alone spends $4.5 billion a year locking up people for drug offenses. It costs almost $28,000 a year just to incarcerate one prisoner. Compare that to the average annual tuition at a four-year public college, which is $5,491, and you realize that the drug war is blurring our nation's priorities. Taxpayers' money would be much better spent educating people instead of punishing them. But thanks to ever-increasing mandatory minimum drug sentences, an entire class of young people are being filtered into new supermax prisons while the resulting budget crunch forces the rest of us to go to old, dilapidated schools. The more money we dump into prisons, the less we have to invest in college campuses. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out how you can get involved in the war against the war on drugs.
What makes essential workers essential?
We keep where you work and live clean and safe.
We harvest fresh produce for your families to eat.
We help you heal when you're sick.
Essential workers help our nation run. You're in every corner of our country and come from all over the globe. I'm Marty Walsh. The Wage and Hour Division at the Department of Labor helps ensure you receive the essential protections you deserve. Visit our website or call 866-4-US-WAGE.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Labor.
It's beautiful, it's bittersweet. You're like a broken home to me. I take a shot of memories and black out like an empty street. I fill my days with the way you walk and fill my nights with broken dreams. I make up lies inside my head like one day you'll come back to me. Now I'm not holding on, not holding on. I'm just afraid that you're gone. Not holding on, not holding on. Beautiful mistake.
Just Usually I like my situations beneficial. Doing something different got me looking stupid. The only way I'm coming back to you is if you're dreaming. Lose it, prove it. If you made a promise, then keep it. Why you wanna lie, then get mad, I don't believe it. But really, I was doing just fine without you. Looking fine, sipping wine, dancing no club couches. Baby, why you wanna lose me like you don't need me? Like I don't block you and you still try to reach me. How you figure out how to call me from the TV? You running out of chances and this time I mean it. Yeah, that you miss my love all in your bed. Now you're stressing, I'm pulling your hair. Smelling your pillows and wishing I was there. Sliding down the shower wall, looking sad. I know it's hard to let go, I'm the best. Best you ever had and best you gon' get. If we break up, I don't wanna be friends. You're toxic.
Beautiful mistakes.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO and Medford Tusk Reform Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Thank you for tuning into the program on this President's Day edition of the Shukri Wright Show, Monday afternoon as sunset is now getting later and later and later. It's 5:22 and I look outside the windows of the studio and I see the sun going down and I'm thinking, wow. Great news. Sunset is getting later in the day, which means more daylight. And then, oh, by the way, in 13 days, I think the time actually goes forward an hour. Yeah. The first Sunday of March, I believe. Yeah, the first Sunday of March. Time goes forward an hour. So right around the corner, we are about to start seeing 6:30 or 6:45 sunsets here in Boston, greater Boston, and so forth. And I don't know about you, but I welcome it. I'm like, let's go. Let's go. So, as always, thanks to all of you who have tuned in to the show. You can call in off your thoughts on the Bruins game today. Overall picture, big picture view of the Boston Bruins, 855-915-915. WMFO 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the show. Now, there was a statement that was made by the head coach just a few days ago that caught my attention. And it caught my attention because this has been something that I have talked about at times, at different lengths, in regards to this current roster of the Boston Bruins. And I am so happy that someone came out and finally said what a lot of us have been thinking and feeling over the course of these last several months when it comes to the 2021-22 Boston Bruins. Bruce Cassidy, as we all know, has never been one to shy away from saying what he feels and saying what's really on his mind. And oftentimes in today's society, we get too offended easily when someone tells us exactly what we think or exactly what he or she feels. We get offended too easily. And in hockey culture, I wouldn't say that it's basically more of, oh man, let's not be too harsh, but we're not going to do it publicly. Maybe behind the scenes, sure. But Bruce Cassidy came out and said something the other night in which I absolutely loved. And I mean, I absolutely loved it tremendously. Now, Bruce Cassidy said in an interview after practice, so a couple of days ago, this was part of a column that was written by my good friend Lauren Campbell of Nesson. It's on Nesson.com. She wrote that Bruce Cassidy said after practice, "We have a lot of nice guys on our team. We need to be more like pricks, to be honest with you. I don't know if we always going to be that guy, but we'd like, talking about Vaakanainen, to develop into a shutdown guy that can be a little harder to play against. We like that whole decor to bring a little more of them, even though they're not by nature. But just as some six every night, like Charlie McAvoy when he brings in physicality, when JT Pajot hit Carlo the other night, you see Charlie all of a sudden, that competitiveness ramp up. He didn't get hit. His teammate did, and we need more of that from the whole group," unquote. Let's start with and stay with that entire first part of that statement. "We have a lot of nice guys on our team. We need to be more like pricks, to be honest with you." You know the old saying in life, nice guys finish last? That sure as hell applies to the Boston Bruins, because I have talked about this before, and we're going to talk about this even more so. And ever since that particular statement, that was before the game against Ottawa, the Bruins have gone 2-0. We need to be a lot more mean. We need to be more prickly, or we need to act like pricks. Like, I mean, you know the old saying that nice guys finish last and so forth. I mean, whether you agree with it or disagree with it, I personally don't care. But there is some truth to that. And the ugly truth behind that statement is, you can't always be the nice guy. Sometimes you kind of have to be the prick, you know, to be that person that has the balls to actually be bold, to be a pain in the side, to be that thorn in the side, if you will. That is exactly what Bruce Cassidy is talking about. You need guys that's going to be able to play a game in a certain fashion that is going to be tough for opposing teams to play against. I have talked about this early in the season, how I just feel that the Boston Bruins as a whole, they're not physically tough. They're not a physically imposing team. This isn't the era of Zdeno Chara or Sean Thornton or Milan Lucic. This isn't the era of Chris Kelly or even a David Backes. But even David Backes was never really that guy. That era is gone. Very gone. And for your head coach to come out and say, "We need guys to play like pricks," I thought that was probably the most telling statement of the entire season. Unequivocally, the most bold statement of the season. If anything else, if my memory serves me correctly, Lauren Campbell, she came out and tweeted that statement needed to be framed as the slogan of the season: "Play like pricks." Heck, I'm about to actually use that statement myself. Play like pricks. You want that job? You want to be the badass radio personality in this region? Be like a prick on the air. You wanna get that job? You wanna go out and improve to be the baddest MF-er out there? Be that prick. And I don't mean treat people badly. What I mean is walk with an air of confidence, and you have to act like you have the absolute cojones to go out there and say, you know what? No, you're mine. You're mine. And whether you like it or not, whether you like me or not, ain't nothing you can do about it, because I'm going to be a prick. Play like a prick. In hockey, you talk about being mean, playing with tenacity, tough along the boards, right? That's exactly what Bruce Cassidy is about. But in life, you being too weak, too timid, too soft, that doesn't get you anywhere. It doesn't. You have to have a bit of a steel or iron in your spine. Play like a prick. You have the cojones, you have the balls to go for what you want. Go for it. Get it. Because in life, you can't worry about being that person all the time that you have to worry about trying to hurt someone else's feelings because you're too weak or you're too timid or you're too shy. That doesn't work and that doesn't get you anywhere. In professional sports, it's the same thing. It's a dog-eat world out there, and only the strongest survive. That is what it's about. Play like pricks. I love that saying so much that from this moment on, this is literally going to be my slogan. Play like a prick. Sure. Because guess what? Because being the nice guy doesn't always work out for you. Sometimes you have to be hard around the edges. And being hard around the edges doesn't necessarily mean you lose all sense of compassion or humanity. That's not what it means. A lot of people make that mistake. You show compassion, but you don't take no BS from nobody. Same thing in sports. You look at some of the great alpha dogs in sports, in professional sports. Michael Jordan, Tom Brady, for example, are the two that comes to mind. They wanted to win at all cost, and they were the absolute alpha dogs in that locker room. If you saw the Jordan documentary, The Last Dance, you saw multiple cases and multiple examples of how Michael Jordan was the absolute alpha dog in that locker room, in the practice, which translated into games as well. Tom Brady, over his 22-year career, had to be that prick. He became that prick. He became that guy. He wanted to win. He wanted to win badly. You don't win or achieve greatness in life by playing it soft, conservative. You win in life by being aggressive for what you want. And in hockey, everybody should want to win every night. The question is, do you want to win as bad as you claim that you want to win? That's the difference between winning and losing. That applies in life and in professional sports as well. If you have any thoughts, call in at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. Play like a prick. It's just not only a statement made by an NHL head coach. It's a statement that very well applies in life. Play like a prick. But if you're going to apply it in life, how do you apply it? Well, here's how. Play like a prick means you maintain a level of dignity, but you are not a pushover. You are not a simp. You are not someone who can be played. And for those hardos or self-proclaimed hardos out there, that doesn't mean you turn yourself into something that is completely unrecognizable. You stand your ground and you have a bit of sternness. That is playing like a prick. That's what it's all about. We got a lot more to get into over the course of the next hour and a half of this program. Here with you live until 7 o'clock here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Whew. What a day. What a day. Coming up next, you're going to be hearing new updates surrounding the MLB Players Association and the owners meeting in Florida. There is a lot to talk about. Trust me. I am excited, and you should be too. But what does this ultimately mean? I want to tell you exactly what I'm talking about coming up next right here on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tusk Reform Radio.
Like a bird of the night. I'm just holding on for tonight. Oh, I'm just holding on for tonight. On for tonight. On for tonight.
I am Dr. Lester Grinspoon, Associate Professor Emeritus of Psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School. Back in 1966, concerned that so many young people were harming themselves through the use of marijuana, I began to review the medical and scientific literature to help clarify the nature of this harmfulness. Much to my surprise, I discovered that it was a substance remarkably free of toxicity. In fact, it is far safer than any pharmaceutical or recreational drug. There is no record of a single overdose death from its recreational or medicinal use. Marijuana is one of the most studied substances. I believe that it is high time that this country reconsider its stance on cannabis.
Them legalize marijuana.
Call it love and devotion. Call it a mom's adoration. Foundation, a special bond of creation. Ha! For all the single moms out there going through frustration. Clean bandit, China ball, and Marie thing make them air.
She works the nights by the water. She's gone astray, so far away from her father's daughter. She just wants her life for a baby. All on her own, no one will come. She's got to save him.
Daily struggle.
She tells him, ooh, love, no one's ever gonna hurt you, love. I'm gonna give you all of my.
Come, you well prepare. And no, mama, you never said tear. Cause you have said things year after year. And you give the youth love beyond compare. You find the school fee and the bus fare. When the pops disappear, in a wrong bar, can't find him nowhere. Steadily your workflow, everything you know. So you're not stop, no time, no time for your dear.
Now she got a 6-year-old trying to keep him warm, trying to keep all the gold. When he looks in her eyes, he don't know he is safe. When she says, keep him warm, trying to keep out the cold. When he looks in her eyes, he don't know he is safe. When she says, she tells him, ooh, love, no one's ever gonna hurt you, love. I'm gonna give you all of my love. Nobody matters like you.
Stay up there.
She
stay
tells
up
him
there.
Your life ain't gonna be nothing like my life.
Jay.
You're gonna grow and have a good life. I'm gonna do what I got to do.
Rock-a-bye, rock-a-bye.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO and Medford Touch Free Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn radio app and globally on WMFO.org, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Thank you for making this show part of your day. Sincerely appreciate it. The phone lines are open. Call in at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the show. Now, I'm here with you until 7 o'clock. But during this segment, we're going to talk about the Major Baseball lockout and the latest developments that has broken within the last 30 minutes. And there is a tweet that I saw during the break. It's from Tim Healy. He is a Mets beat writer for Newsday newspaper in New York. He tweeted this out saying, quote, "The MLBPA and the MLB delegations are reconvening for after spending the past 3 hours discussing with their own sides at Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium." That's the spring training facility for the St. Louis Cardinals and the Miami Marlins. "It's been more than 4 hours since they first got together." That is the tweet. So that was literally 30 minutes ago. So they have basically, according to Tim Healy, and this is according to the tweet that came about 28 minutes ago. So someone asked him on Twitter asking, so they haven't had discussions with each other in 3 hours. Tim Healy verified on Twitter. He said, correct. They were in separate rooms, so they're reconvening as we speak. And as of right now, we haven't seen anything new as of yet in terms of any developments, any news, breaking news, in terms of like what Major Baseball is going to do next, in terms of any update, in terms of the lockout. Because let's be honest, and it's time that we had this conversation, because a week ago, we were in a very different space in terms of the lockout and as well as what were the next steps going to be in terms of being able to ensure that Major League Baseball starts the season on time. And here we are on February 21st, that they have a deadline now set in place for next Monday, February 28th. If they do not have a new CBA in place by that time, now we were talking about the actual loss of spring training, not spring training games, but regular season games. Let me start that again. If a new CBA deal is not completed or ratified by the 28th of February, that's a week from today, we are now talking about the loss of regular season games, and opening day being on March 31st will likely not be happening, period. Because the players need 4 weeks to prepare for the start of the regular season. How do I know this? Because if you go back 2 years ago, when baseball was trying to sort through its issues and get over the in-house fighting during the pandemic, at the height of the pandemic 2 years ago, they only had 3 weeks to get ready for the resumption of games. And what Commissioner Rob Manfred saw was a rash of injuries that impacted teams as the teams played through a truncated 60-game season. So with that being said, they realize that now time is officially on the clock. You're now on the clock. Get a deal done. They don't have a choice. Because now you're talking about games being lost and money being lost. These are the same owners who were crying that they lost so much money during the pandemic season of 2020, because nobody really had fans in the stands, with the exception of Texas, the Texas Rangers. But other than that, there weren't really fans in the stands. So with that being said, the owners, who didn't even want to open their books up to begin with to the players, they were crying about loss of revenue and loss of money and so forth. They now realize if they don't get a deal done between themselves and the players, they're going to be losing even more money. Because guess what? Now with every game that is being canceled, that's money that they're losing out of their pockets. The gate in which that the fans come through at all 30 Major League Baseball ballparks across the country, including Canada. Jerseys, food, concessions, you name it, everything. TV deals. They're not getting paid unless those games are being played. And if the games are being played, obviously the networks that played TV feeds and TV rights to broadcast those games, they won't get paid. So that's money being lost. So if they're concerned about having a season, at least having the season start on time, now is the time, and this week is the week for them to absolutely barricade themselves inside of a room somewhere and get this hammered out. That's where we are. Because who is to say what's going to happen between now and next Monday? I don't know. I'm sincerely hoping by the time we come back to do this show, a week from today, regular slot hour from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. next Monday, that there is major news of a new CBA being passed. Folks, we now officially do have a 2022 season. Now we can talk about free agency. Now we can look forward to opening day. But right now, as it currently stands, all of that is in the air. All of that is in the air. So right now, as I last saw the tweet from like the last 28 or 30 minutes ago, rather, they're now currently hammering out the details. We'll wait and see what happens. Now, I'm going through Twitter as we speak, as I'm on the air, and I'm trying to see if there's any new updates and so forth. I'm going to go to the latest in terms of Major League Baseball. Let's see what they said. Come on. Here we go. Let's see. Okay. This is amazing. So, Jim Bowden tweeted, Major League Baseball Players Association and Major League Baseball meeting for 3 hours today in Jupiter, Florida is progress in itself, which I agree. Both sides grinding to get a deal that works for everyone that includes curtailing, tanking, and service time manipulation while paying the non-arbitration eligible players more money, most important. That's from Jim Bowden on Twitter. He's an MLB and NFL analyst for CBS Sports HQ. Works for the Athletic, SiriusXM Major Baseball Network Radio. He was a general manager for 16 years and executive of the year winner. So, that's one source. Lou Maloney of WEEI basically just tweeted 20 minutes ago, is MLB and MLBPA still meeting? What are we going on 4 or 5 hours now? Got to be a good sign, I would think. Why didn't they do this a month ago? Whatever, just figure it out. So basically, everything that I've read and everything that I've seen on Twitter just within the last few minutes, all positive developments. They have been working hard for the last 4 or 5 hours. They just reconvened about 30-plus minutes ago. They're meeting as we speak. Hopefully that there is more developing stories and developing news between now and the end of the show at 7 o'clock. That's best case scenario. I mean, what a day for baseball. What a day for baseball. And I mean that. Wow. Glad to be here with you on this edition of the Sugar Ride Show at 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Coming up next, I'm going to play for you an interview that I did earlier today with John Marks of Sports Radio 94 WIP in Philadelphia. He also has his national show on CBS Sports Radio. It's a terrific interview, which you can watch the interview in its entirety on YouTube. Listen to it here, right here on the Sugar Ray Show, 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. So I'm going to play for that
edition of the Shukri Writes podcast with your host, Shukri Writes.
And here it is.
Today, I am joined by John Marks, who is the co-host of Marks and Reese on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Also has his own national show on CBS Sports Radio, 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. Mr. John Marks, happy to have you on the podcast. How are you doing?
Man, they only give me the good hours, 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. on Sunday morning. They give me the prime shift, man. What's up?
Oh man, like, weren't you previously on from like from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m.? Because I remember hearing you used to be on that slot.
So I was doing 2 a.m. to 2 p.m. I filled in from time to time doing the 10 p to 2 a.m., but I was doing Sunday mornings from 10 a to 2 p. But I have three kids and a wife that deals with three kids all week long while I work. So I still wanted to do a shift. So I was doing a shift when it wasn't going to miss family time or whatever. So I work in the middle of the night and I love it. It's actually great. Other than losing a night of sleep, the late night crowd's pretty cool. So you're getting people that are just going to bed on the West Coast, and you're getting people that are up in the middle of the night or waking up for the day on the East Coast. So it's a lot of fun. I enjoy it.
Absolutely. Especially when you're in a market like Philadelphia, in which it's passionate, it is intense, and especially when you're talking about like on like Saturday nights in particular, whereas you have people that are out or they're either probably trying to get that late night grub from either Tony Luke's or D'Alessandro's. It's the best of both worlds. And speaking of Philly cheesesteak, do you have a particular spot that you prefer anywhere in Philly?
My favorite's a place called Steve's Princess Steaks. It's in Northeast Philadelphia. There's a location. They have a couple different locations, but it's in Northeast Philly. Gino's and Pat's is we call them tourist traps here.
They are.
That's traditionally and they're good. Like it's not a rip of them, but that's kind of like, if you go to Philly, they're the two famous places that you go to. You mentioned D'Alessandro's and Roxborough. Mm-hmm. They have good cheesesteaks, but the thing about cheesesteaks is you can go to any pizza place, whether you're in Philly, whether you're in the suburbs where I live, whether you're in Jersey, and you can get a competent cheesesteak. So I mean, that's the good thing, is you can get them anywhere. You don't just have to go to four or five places to get a good one.
Which is true, because like when I used to live in South Philadelphia for almost 2 years, and I got to know like Gino's and Pat's pretty well, but the one spot that I really fell in love with was Ishka Bibbles, which is like walking distance from Penn's Landing. And as I was got preparing for the podcast, I was like really intrigued by your story as to how did you end up getting into radio, like how does your journey begin? And I want to go back to specifically October 2005. Obviously, it's a much different world now than what it was back then. Your journey started at WPEN. Tell me about the days of when you first started as an intern, and just the incredible hunger and drive that you demonstrated during those days that helped ingrain the lessons that you needed in order to become the successful host that you became now.
Yeah, so WPEN in October 2005 went from being, it was an AM station, 950 AM, went from being